Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning, and want to welcome everyone here. I see a lot of visitors here again this morning, and happy to have you with us to worship with us. I believe the theme of our worship service today, and has been since we came this morning, has been trusting God. And I know in the song that songs we sang, and also Sunday school seemed to bring that out. Evan brought it out in his devotions. And I also appreciated the song that Aaron led, Does Jesus Care? Oh, yes, he cares. And a lot of these things go along with my message today. As I studied and what I have to share this morning, I'll move on with my message. And I didn't know how to give my message a title, but what my message is about is moving on past our mistreatments. I think that many Christian people struggle having a victim attitude. And in Colossians 3, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And verse 2, it says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And I would like to look at these two verses a little differently than we normally look at them. Normally, we would consider that these verses are saying that if we make a choice, if we have made the choice to accept Jesus in our heart, in our life, then that should follow. What should follow that is a change from following the world and the desires. It should change from a righteous life and focused on eternity with Jesus. But I would like to replace in verse 2 where it says the word affections, it says set your affections on things above. I would like to replace that word. Not that I'm replacing the Bible, I'm not wanting to change the words of the Bible, but to get a different meaning, a little where I'm going this morning, to the word focus. So set your focus on things above, not on your problems and mistreatments. And my goal for this message is to help us move on past our victim attitude. Set our focus on things above, not on our problems and mistreatments. I want to also help us to realize that regardless what happens in our lives or how we have been unfairly treated by even our own brothers in the Lord or sisters in the Lord, that we need to forgive and move on, trusting God. And I want to encourage us to be more, to be mature and strong in our faith in God. I want us to remember this morning that we do not have to be controlled or motivated by our circumstances. I think that Christian people in America struggle having the attitude of a victim. And I think I struggle with it as much as anybody does. As I share this morning, I'm not pointing my finger out to you. I'm speaking to myself and all of us, sharing what's been on my heart. I'd like to look at a little bit, what is a victim? And, you know, a victim is someone who has been treated unfairly or someone who has went through something they didn't ask for. Job was a victim of Satan, in a sense. If you go to the dictionary or Wikipedia, it says victim mentality is acquired, is an acquired personality trait in which a person tends to recognize themselves as a victim of the negative actions of others. And it says more than that too. But what got me going on this message? What got my mind going this way? My wife listened to a podcast or Focus on the Family. Jim Daly is a person who interviews these people, and he interviewed a man. His name is Jimmy Wayne. He's a singer. Some of you might recognize him. I don't know. I don't think he sings necessarily gospel songs, so to speak. But he, his testimony, his story, and then later she found the book, and I read the book. And after reading that book, I just had to think, there is no excuses for us to be failing in our lives. And I'll just say a little bit about this book, just to get you thinking of how I was thinking. This boy, when he was a young boy, his mom, his mother was bipolar, and she was two different people. And his father was from a rich family, and when they found out that his mother was bipolar, his father, they totally went out of their lives and left him. And in fact, one day, he lived in the same community, but he never knew him. One day, when his mom was okay, he was about 7 years old, they drove by this place, and she said, "That's your dad over there on the deck." And so he ran back about a mile to say hi to his dad, and his dad just didn't recognize him, walked away, walked in the house. Terrible rejection. And then his mom was very terribly unstable, and she was, in a lot of ways, you would consider her to be very crazy. He was abused terribly in a lot of different ways, and unimaginable how he was rejected by his own mother. an example of that was when he was 12 or 13, he was with the man that his mother was with at this time. They were running away, they were fugitives, and all of a sudden one day they took him to I think they were in Florida, they took him to the bus station and said, "There you are," and they left him. And she tried to do it in a nice way, but that was impossible. He was so down put, he could not believe that he was rejected that bad. So he got a bus back to his sister, and he lived there. And anyhow, this kind of action went on, and more terrible than what I'm even saying. And then when he was about 16, the foster care people, he wasn't rebellious against them, but they just couldn't get him in a place that people accepted him. And he wasn't a bad boy. He was, for what he was going through, he was a good boy. But there was a family that found him, an older man and an older lady, and they kept him in their home for the next 5 years. And he attributed that that made a big change in his life and what he went through and the struggles he faced. And then how he came out at the other end. And then he walked across America to be in favor of these foster kids that were in his position, that are going through what he's going through, what he went through. I didn't say even half of the testimony that man has, but after reading it, I had to think about, you know, there's no reason for us to feel like that we're a victim. We have so much. God is watching over those people. God is watching over those people that like that, and he cares about that. And here we have our little struggles that we feel so down put that we can't get on with our lives. And it just inspired me to think about this. You know, we all are a victim in a sense. We've all been treated unfairly at some point in our lives. But I know that some of you have been treated really unfair in comparison to someone else. And each of us has gone through something that has affected our thinking in a negative way. And it's a natural tendency of humanity to blame something for the choices that we make. And, for example, my parents didn't treat me right. You could say that. You could say the church didn't treat me right. You could say I wasn't taught properly. And I think that each of us could say that because it's hard to teach totally properly. Or you could say no one came to see how I was doing. There's no one who understands what I'm going through. someone deceived me into thinking this way. I didn't really want to start this way. You know, a victim struggles getting on because we aren't really willing to let go and forgive. And we think it's okay to pity ourselves and to focus on our own problems. I believe all of the excuses that I just mentioned are many times very real in our lives, but it doesn't justify any reason for not seeking God. A Christian who feels this way is forgetting that we are raised with Jesus. When we decided to be a Christian, we're raised with Jesus. And if we feel this way, essentially we are saying, I can't be a good Christian unless I get babied and treated fairly. And I think sometimes we feel that way. And following Jesus is a narrow and rugged road, and many times we want the paved highway instead. A Christian with a victim thinking forgets the power of Christ in the resurrection, in what Jesus has done on the cross. And I don't think this is a new problem in this world. There are many examples in the Bible of men and people who had this attitude, and they went down this road of being a victim and never getting over it, all hung up on their negative circumstances. Think of King Saul. Think of Esau, the prophet Jonah, Ahab. And there's a long list of people that in the Bible and even in history, in recent history, that people we know that have went down this road. But I just want to say this morning, we don't have to be a victim. I know there are many more examples in the Bible and even in history who were treated very bad and were able to get on with their lives. And there's one example this morning that I want to look at that stands out to me very much. And I was going to read the scripture, but maybe to save a little time, I will just paraphrase the life of Joseph a little bit. And I look at the life of Joseph very much. It stands out to me so much. You can read his account starting in Genesis 37 if you want to, but Joseph was second to the last son of Jacob's, of Israel, and he was, in some ways it would imply that he was spoiled a little bit, possibly, but really I don't know if it would be considered spoiled. I would say he was favored. It says in the Bible that Jacob favored him because he was the last son of Rachel, his wife, or one of the last sons. And then he gave him the special coat, and Jacob sort of set him up a little bit. In some ways, it would seem like for all his siblings to hate him. But his siblings grew to hate him, and they despised him. And then you know the story well, too, that he got sold into Egypt. They put him in a pit. They lied, deceived their dad. And I'd like to just start there. Here Joseph is now. He's 17 years old, and he's on his way to Egypt with slave traders. They were not professional slave traders, but they were slave traders at this time because they had Joseph, and they agreed to do that. They took him down to Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar. And it says in here, that I'm going to say this again too, it says in here that the Lord was with Joseph. And so as I think about that time, the time span when he was sold, his brother sold him to the slave traders till he was sold to Potiphar, what was going through his mind? What did he struggle with? How did he deal with this? Tremendous rejection that he was feeling at this time, that your own siblings would go against you like this. And then he gets down to there and he, I don't think Joseph would ever quit missing his father. I don't think he would ever come to the place where, I think it would always be hard to keep forgiving his brothers for this. But I think Joseph trusted God enough to recognize that he was going to be okay. He knew that God was watching him and caring for him. I think he felt it. And I'll say a little more about some of this later, but I want to go on the rest of his life. You know, it wasn't too long that he was with Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife wanted to seduce him, and he made a good choice. He ran away from sin and temptation. One of the hardest sins for mankind to run away from, he ran away from, and he did the right thing. But for doing the right thing, he was put in prison. And I think he was in prison for, I would guess it's close to 10 years, maybe not quite, but he was 37 years old when he became prime minister, so it had to be somewhere about that much time. I don't know how long he was with Potiphar. And it says again in that in his account in Psalms, in Genesis 39, it says again, when he was put in prison, it says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. I want us to remember that. And then he was in prison for all those years, and then finally he got out of prison and he was put to prime minister. I would guess he was close to 40 when his brothers finally came to him. And, you know, he had forgiven his brothers. He had gone on with his life. Joseph was a victim of being treated and rejected so terribly bad, and yet he came out victorious. And I don't think it was easy for Joseph. The way the scripture gives it doesn't talk about Joseph's struggle. The one time it gives a hint of his struggle, it says in the, when he was interpreting the dream for the baker, he said, "Remember me. When you go back to Pharaoh, remember me." And so I think Joseph was, he had doubts. I don't think he went without doubts. You know, why does God have me here? And he had to keep trusting God during that time. But Joseph continued to trust God, and it would have been easier for Joseph to think, God's punishing me. But the question I have this morning, how could Joseph do that? What did he have that he could actually do that? And I really believe if we can do it, we can do that too. I think the thing that Joseph had is he sought God. He always was seeking God. He wanted to know God. And I think that we can do that too. If we seek God in our personal lives, I think it will become more apparent in our minds how God is. And we will never, even though we will never know God perfectly on earth, yet we'll still know that God is not against us. And I think people that are rejected feel that way very much. If we want to trust God during the storm, it's essential that we continually seek him while the sun is shining. And I believe that Joseph learned to seek God continually. And therefore, he had a resolve to trust God during the storm, because he had many storms. I read that rejection and mistreatment hurts our brain in such a way that it causes us to think that we are a failure and worthless. And, you know, we have to overcome with doubt the doubts about what we did wrong, or that why did God allow this to happen? And I think people that face rejection, they face that a lot. We face a lot of doubts when we are rejected by our own people. I think Joseph was also comforted with the knowledge that God understood the reason and also would take care of him and would protect him. It says it in there that God would do that. And Joseph was human. I don't think that Joseph was any different than you or I. He had temptations and doubts just like you and I do. But his faith was strong, enough to keep trusting God even when doubts were strong. I think the second thing that Joseph did was forgive. And the reason that he was able to forgive was because he trusted God. He would not have been able to forgive if he had not trusted God. First, you know, you might think that, well, he should forgive first, then he could trust God. But I don't think that he could have had the power to forgive if he had not trusted God first. We can start thinking that, well, I'd like to look at how this relates to us more. And we can start thinking our circumstances are making it hard for us to be a good Christian. But that is very unbiblical to think like that. We have to remember that we don't need a paved highway to be faithful. And we have to also remember my faith is not contingent on how I'm treated or my crazy circumstances that I'm going through. But I'd like to ask this question. Why is it so hard to trust God when we're going through a storm or when we have been mistreated and rejected? I think too many times it's because we underestimate God. We forget that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives and abides in us as a Christian. If we are raised with Christ, that's what we do when we become a Christian. We are raised with Christ. Then we need to remember that that power comes along with being raised in Christ. Another thing that happens is in our humanity, we tend to be very impatient. If God doesn't show immediate action in our problems, we start doubting. You have to remember that Abraham waited many years for God to give him the promised son. And maybe to bring this a little more, maybe to summarize a little bit more what I've been trying to say here. In serving the Lord, we need to focus on Jesus, not our problems. In serving the Lord, we need to remember that being a Christian is not a paved highway. We need to accept the pain and the mistreatment of others that is directed at us and don't get bitter about it. God has the power and grace to help us to be a good Christian regardless how unfair we have been treated. And God has the power and grace to help us be faithful even when our own church people misunderstand us, and that happens quite a bit. Or our own family. I see it happen in families too. God has the power and grace to help us make the right choice, the right choices, even if my father or my boss or my minister abuse me verbally. You know, we sometimes can get caught up thinking that someone that is an authority over me, they've got to say it perfect, and they've got to do it perfect, or I can't make it. And that's not right. That's wrong. That's not the way it is. God gave us the power and grace to live a good Christian life and be faithful and to Him, regardless how we're treated or how someone misunderstood us or how someone spoke to me. And it's hard sometimes. We think that we've got to have a paved highway to make it right, and we don't. We don't have to have that. I would say that, scripturally speaking, the more unfair we have been treated, the better Christians we should become. And I'd like to move on just a little bit different here now, too. You know, this is a real battle. This battle is real in many of our lives. Each of us, at some time, we face this battle in a very, very strong way than we normally do. We come across. And there are many Christians and many people that walk away from God because they get discouraged when things aren't going like they think they should. And they don't know how to deal with that rejection. At some point in your life, or have in your life, you're going to face rejection. And rejection is hard to overcome. I just want to say a little bit about rejection, or about, they say that people that have went through really strong times of rejection in their life from other human people, whether it was relatives or whatever, they did a test. Well, basically, it's the same pain. Your brain feels that pain the same way that you feel physical pain. So if you're dealing with chronic physical pain, the person that's dealing with rejection is feeling that. Their brain is interpreting that pain almost the same. And so they did some tests, and they said they took people that had had a lot of rejection in their life, and they went back and brought this up, relived this rejection they felt. And they did it on two types of people. The first one, they did it with people that just normal. They just did it. And it was very hard for those people. And then the second people, they give them some Tylenol before they did it. And the studies show that it really helped them. It helped them to deal with that. And so it made their brain, it numbed their brain so that they were not have to, it didn't feel it quite so hard. And so they're pretty sure that that is the same pain that you feel when you get physically hurt. But the problem is, physical pain goes away and you remember it and you don't want that physical pain back, right? But it doesn't hurt you so emotionally most of the time. Rejection can really mess your brain up and your thinking and your attitude and your mind. And so it's important to deal with it. And many people have a hard time. It's a real battle. It's a major battle in some people's lives. They end up getting upset at God. They don't trust God that he will use this storm for the long-term good. That's one thing Joseph said to his brothers. If you remember, when his brothers came, they said, they were worried. And he said, I have forgiven you. It's all good. And God has used your evil against me for the long-term good of us all. And I believe that Joseph recognized that, you know. That's what we have to remember going through that. In Ephesians 6, a very familiar verse that we need to depend on a lot, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And I just want to encourage us this morning to take all of that armor on, because when we are facing these times when we can't get over what happened to us and we're having a hard time moving past and thanking God for the good things in our lives and being focused on trusting God, keep trusting God. I think if we Christians will trust God during the storms and forgive those who mistreat us, if we would be very solid on that, I think that would lessen up the need for counseling. I think that's the reason that we have so much counseling going on in our lives today, because we're having a hard time dealing with that. But I'm not making light of counseling. I believe we need it. But I'm saying to us that God has given us the power and grace when we are raised up in Christ to face the rejection and not take it personally and recognize that God allowed it in our life. I'm going to back up a little bit. You know that I don't think that God wanted Joseph's brothers, even though God used it for his good, I don't think that God wanted his brothers to sell him. I don't think God wanted his brothers to hate him. But because evil was present, evil was going on, God just lets people have choices of what they do that way. It happened. And God used it for good. But it wasn't God's will that Joseph be sold into slavery. I don't think so. But God used it for his good in the long term. And I think we need to remember that. The very worst things that happen to people and they go through, I don't think that God is saying punishing those people. Because if we go that route, we all deserve worse punishment than that. I don't think God wants to punish us that way. I think God, when it happens because of evil that's in the world and around us and goes on in our lives, God wants to come and use it and take that and use it for the long-term good and change it for good. But we have to trust him. We have to continue to trust him in those times. We cannot doubt and say, get mad at God. We can, but it's the wrong way to go. It says on several occasions on the account of Joseph that God was with Joseph. I don't know why it got recorded in there, but it got recorded in that scripture. God was with Joseph. And I just like to remember, God will be with us too when we're in that storm. If we make the right choice, if we seek him and we trust him, God will be with us. And he will be with us during that storm. And sometimes he feels silent, but that is when we need to keep trusting him. And it's very hard sometimes. And that's why I believe that if we want to trust God like we should during the storm, that we need to seek him while the sun is shining. Seek him diligently now, all the time. You cannot expect to make it in your Christian life if you do not seek God every day of your life. God will reveal himself to us in a very special way, in a clear way, if we will seek him. He will never let us down. It says he will never forsake us or leave us alone. I'll close with that. Maybe let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, I just come before